Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting radio-exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hose. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethose.com/terms.
The Killer Bees!
ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 proudly present The Killer Bees.
Definitely a fan of The Killer Bees.
Don't sweat the technique.
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios, located at Senate Avenue Brewing Company in Jersey Village. Here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
What up, H-Town? Hey, how we doing?
He's Blank. I am Branham. It is Brian here on site engineering. It is Sean Mapes behind the glass doing all the production work. And it is a Tuesday edition of the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5. We're live from Senate Avenue Brewing. It is a Taco Tuesday, and I got wings. The wings are fantastic here at Senate Avenue Brewing. It's how I judge places a lot of times. I'm a little pretentious when it comes to my wings. I like to call myself a buffalo wing aficionado. These wings are very, very good.
I think it's fair to say you are, with wings, what I am to quesadillas, but you are my go-to in terms of if the wings are good or not. So if you believe that it's a thumbs up,
oh, fantastic.
That's a good thumbs up.
It kind of like Bob Ross, a happy accident. They gave me all flats, which flats are always
the... You prefer that, right?
Oh, it's not only a preference thing. The answer to your question is yes, but it's the only way to eat a wing. Mm-hmm. Flats are...
It's a terrible take.
Flats are a wings man wing.
I remember you having a very hard stance on this.
Drums are for amateurs. Drums are for casuals.
I feel like most of Jeremy's shots where he's calling out someone as being a casual or a noob is usually directed at me.
In this case, if
I were to order wings, I would order all drums.
Like so. H-Tex Rhino right
here. I knew right away that Jeremy was taking a shot.
I mean, you're casual. It's fine. We still like casuals. Casuals are cool. Like, there's a place in the world for casuals. H-Tex Rhino says drums over flats. Casual.
He's a worldly man.
Plus, if they're on Twitch, a Twitcher's a worldly man.
Okay, you know what? Actually, I retract my statement. My bad.
Brian believes in their worldliness so much. He doesn't even pay attention.
I never look at it.
So yeah, there is that.
That's mostly for mental health.
Smart move. That is a smart move.
I should have done that a long time ago. Actually,
lots to get to today. We're at Senate Avenue first and foremost here in Jersey Village area, home of the Falcons. So swing on by, say hello to us. Great spot. They have fantastic brews. They've won a couple of awards. I'm trying one of them that won a silver medal on the Untapped award list or whatever. It's a very good brew. It's a very good beer. It's cold. I like it that way. So good spot to hang out. Ditch work a little bit early. Glenn Davis will be here from 6 to 8. He's a couple of guests on site, too. Pat Onstead, the general manager of the Houston Dynamo?
His technical title is team president, but he works as the GM.
He's president, GM, and former goalie, right?
He's got like three titles, I believe, at this point, yeah.
He does. And then Bill Brown, the former broadcaster of the Houston Astros, TV voice, will be here in person as well with Glenn Davis a little bit later on. We're going to talk to Brownie next week. He's selling a book. A lot of the proceeds go into military. I can't remember if it's former or past, or that's the same thing, or present. But we'll talk to him next week. He's going to talk to Glenn Davis today. Bill Brown, Jim DeShays, excellent TV crew. A lot of my childhood was around Bill Brown and Jim DeShays.
They were elite. They were great.
That was so solid. Like, I mean, and I remember all the way back to when Morrell was doing double duty too. But, boy, when you got DeShays, he was just so fun to listen to with Brownie. That was a great tandem to listen to.
Yeah, that really disappointed me when he – I mean, as a fan, obviously. I didn't mind that he went there. But when he left to go call TV games for the Cubs. But we were spoiled there for a while when we had Morrell and and like obviously Calvin, and then on the baseball side with Bill Brown and Jim Deshays. That was an elite crew we had.
I like to do this. Jim Deshays or Jeff Blum?
Ooh.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I like to ask the tough questions.
I'll tell you this. Before we get to that, I would say
Deshays. I love Blummer.
Sorry, I'll go Deshays.
Not to cut you off there, but I think Blummer sometimes leans a little more into gimmick, whereas Deshays just calls it. I mean, not that he doesn't have personality, but I think I prefer Deshays a little bit more.
Yeah, I do too. And then
I'll say this. Before I make a decision on that, I liked Ashby. I thought Ashby did a really good job on – Yeah, I liked Ashby because he was versatile. He could do both. But I liked a lot of what he brought to the table, and he went to Toronto.
Yeah, I wasn't an Ashby guy.
I liked him and as an ex-player, but I think that I would – that's a tough call. I'm going to lean Blummer just simply because of the fact that Blummer, to me, kind of modernizes it more. He gets a lot of the social media stuff involved, and it gets a lot of people's interest in a lot of different ways. And he still has the ex-player thing, too. But, I mean, you can't go wrong with either guy.
They are all ex-players.
Yeah, I know.
They're all ex-players.
I think Deshays, like, if he was here now, I think he would do some of that modern stuff that Blummer did. He just came along, like, in the 90s when that really wasn't a thing.
Love Deshays. Okay. Todd Callis or Bill Brown?
Todd Callis.
I'm going to go Todd Callis.
Todd Callis.
Yeah, I got to go TK.
That's tough, though, because Bill Brown was great.
Bill Brown or Todd Callis if Todd Callis didn't come on with us weekly?
Still Todd Callis.
They're both very good. The thing that TK has over – well, he has two things over Bill Brown. He has recency bias, like latest and greatest. And then he also has – and I know Bill Brown was around for a lot of great teams, but he wasn't around for the golden era.
Right.
The era that has produced the only two World Series in franchise history.
Yeah, Bill Brown was around for the tip-your-cap era, yeah. Unfortunately.
So that kind of – that to me, I think, probably is what breaks the tie between TK and Brownie. But both very, very, very good. All right, NBA draft lottery yesterday. Simple question, is the NBA draft lottery rigged?
Look, I mean, Brian and I were talking about it before the show. I was the staunchest defender of the NBA forever and a day about the draft lottery, and last night was the first time that I had the feeling like this thing might just be rigged because you and I were talking about this yesterday, and the two teams that we thought – were the teams that would have been, for the conspiracy theorist, the best teams to win the lottery and be the ones where you could continue to point the finger. Were the Spurs and the Mavs, and lo and behold, the Spurs and the Mavs, you want to throw Philly in there too, with as bad as Daryl's been with his Paul George moves and the things he's tried to do and all the draft picks, and he would have lost it if it went six or beyond. And he, all three of those teams in the top four and Utah and Washington slide, I'm like, this is unbelievable that a 1.7% chance suddenly gets the number one pick in the draft and Nico Harrison ends up getting the get-out-of-jail-free card of a lifetime with them winning the lottery.
Look, I don't think that the NBA draft lottery is rigged. But boy, do they open themselves up for everybody to think that it is rigged. We were talking about it before the show yesterday. Like, what is it? We were having fun with it. Like, what has to happen for them to rig the lottery for the Houston Rockets? Because it's common practice. Jim Rome posted today that interview with David Stern back in the day when he asked him if the NBA draft lottery was rigged. And David Stern says, "When did you stop beating your wife?" Which, cool, David. But, I mean, this has been something that's gone around forever. It's gone around since the 80s with Ewing. This has been something that we've talked about a lot. And I don't think it's rigged, and I don't even remember. What's the company that runs the lottery? Like,
it's
they open
the
themselves up.
I mean, the law firm, tax, whatever.
And they open themselves up if they're rigging it to, like, federal law.
Yep.
So, like, I don't believe that it is rigged. So, but the NBA should go beyond any measure to at least have fans feel confident that it is not rigged, or at least more confident that it is not rigged. Why don't they just televise this thing from, like, the moment the ping pong balls are delivered to the moment that the ping pong balls are put into the little canister
hopper,
or whatever
hopper,
it's called,
yeah.
The hopper.
Yeah.
They give us the bingo cards of the ping pong combination so we can cross-check this whole thing. Why aren't they filming it and actually airing this live from the moment that it all starts, the entire process, until the moment that it ultimately ends?
So they should, right? I don't think it should be live television because of the fact that
it should all be live.
Well, but it would
you
take
put it
too
on
long.
Not on TV, but ESPN3.
Right, or on the internet because you can do everything on their ESPN Plus, or you can do it because here's the thing. What you see on TV is completely different than what the lottery that actually takes place. And I actually have friends that have been in the room and taken part in the actual lottery, and it takes hours. And it is all about sequencing, and it's all about them doing these different runs and eliminating all these different combinations. And they know before they basically go out on the stage essentially what happened behind closed doors, but they can't say. But at least it would validate everything that I've been told about how it is, like, foolproof, and it is legit, and it is everything that this iteration of the lottery, because of the ping pong balls, has allowed them to prove that is right. Going back to the frozen envelopes and the different ways that people could prove or thought they could prove in the past that it wasn't legit and the NBA could dictate the outcomes. And hell, LeBron on McAfee this year didn't do anything to dispel it when he started pointing out when he went to Cleveland, when Rose went to Chicago, when Kyrie went back to Cleveland after he
Anthony
left Cleveland.
Davis, when the league owned the team.
All the way back to Ewing and then, you know, going through all the different scenarios we talked about yesterday. I said to Brian before the show, I don't know if there's a way to put a magnet in a ping pong ball or if there's any way that it's possible, but I don't think so. I've been told that it's foolproof that it isn't. But last night I walked away going, man, I'm just not sure, because it's unbelievable that three of those four teams ended up in the top four.
They opened themselves up to the controversy. And if the controversy and the conspiracy has been around forever, it is fishy to me. And again, ultimately, I don't think it's rigged. My deepest, honest feelings. But if this has been going on for decades, why wouldn't they air this from the moment that it begins to the moment that it ends? Because it would end a lot of controversy. It would end a lot of conspiracy. They would be completely transparent. And no, they couldn't put this on ESPN because it would take hours.
Right.
But watch ESPN exist, and they put badminton on ESPN. Like, people would watch this, and fans would watch this, especially if you had the best chance to, like, get the top pick. And there would be, like, these Mythbusters watching it. I think that it should all be out in the public for everybody to watch.
Like, quite honestly, it's the only way to once and for all dispel all of the people that don't believe that this is legit. And I think it's something that, based on this and the outcome this year, also with stacking all the other ones that have happened, this is why you have to do it very soon. You have to do it maybe before next year's lottery. You have to plan to do it for next season because of the fact that you and I were talking about it, and you know, you had said, never say never, but the Rockets have a 3.7% chance. Like, it's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. But then you go back and look at the percentage chances of all the teams that we just rattled off with all the guys that ended up going to the cities, where it would have been ideal, where it was the scenario that everybody was watching, and it plays out, and you're like, 1.7%, 3.2%. How in the world is it constantly happening over and over again with the percentages supposed to be so little? It would be the only foolproof way to finally say, it's foolproof, here it is, we're not doing this, and show people once and for all, because otherwise this has just blown it out of completely, blown the top off of it, going, here we go again with another year where the teams that weren't supposed to win it and had very little chance win it again.
There's nothing punitive to them, though. Like, the NBA doesn't care because it's not losing them anything. Like, it's losing them some distrust, but it's not keeping people from, like, watching the games. So
no.
That's the reason they haven't done it. They don't care about being transparent. They don't care about proving the conspiracy wrong because they're not really risking anything or losing anything.
It's like,
if they were to somehow lose money or whatever, like, then you would see a change of tune.
No, and I think it's like we always talk about the NFL is king and they can do whatever they want and you know, no one's going to argue back at them. In this regard, the NBA gets more spin out of it, because now we're all talking about this today as well as the lottery tomorrow, you know, the lottery yesterday and Cooper Flagg and everything that's going on. And now there'll be even more intrigue about what happens in Dallas and their stories with their teams, that even if they didn't get one of the top picks, they're still going to do well. Their ratings are doing really well this year in the playoffs. They've got competitive series. So you're right. There's no, like, price to pay or people that they have to answer up to. And it's good for them because now the conspiracy theory leads more people in. They're watching more.
Yeah.
It kind of begs the question, and I the answer is tanking, and I know Adam Silver hates tanking. But it begs the question why the NBA just doesn't do what the NFL and Major League Baseball do already and have done for, obviously, decades. Just give the team with the worst record the first pick.
See, but that you're right. You answered your own question. Yeah.
You have that in the NFL. You have that, not in Major League Baseball, really, because players are
they
four
added a
years
lotto
away.
In baseball.
That's true. But if you want to get rid of conspiracy theory, worst record gets the first pick. There's no conspiracy there.
Yeah, I'd be tanking for sure.
Yeah, and I think the one thing that's also good about the NFL, especially with being such a physical sport and everything like that, but it's a lot tougher for the tanking to go on in the NFL and than it is like in the NBA. And
you just bench guys either way.
I think it's the same.
Yeah.
I think it's the same.
But I think if you physically don't tackle guys, I mean,
you have to just bench guys.
The players are never going to buy in. You have to bench them. But, I mean, honestly, you look at not so long ago with the Texans-Colts game on the last game of the regular season.
And that was one of the big things.
That was the one.
Like, why didn't they bench?
Why didn't they just bench all those guys?
Yeah.
Why didn't they bench Davis Mills? You know, he's so good.
Fourth and 15 or whatever it was.
They need to put Davis Mills on the bench.
Fourth and 20.
Awesome. the draft lotto is rigged. The Dallas Mavericks had a 1.8% chance to win the number one overall pick to select Cooper Flagg. Reminds me of the cold David Stern Patrick Ewing envelope. This one brought race into it. It won't get rigged for the Rockets again until there's another generational Chinese player projected to go number one. Generational white guy, Mavs. Generational French guy. Got to go to the Spurs, Tony Parker's old team. All right, how does this draft lottery impact the Rockets? This was about as close to worst-case scenario as you can possibly get. It wasn't completely the worst case, but it was very, very close. We'll talk about that next. Will Doctor joins us at the bottom of the hour, give you some PGA championship bets. We'll talk about Astros-Royals kicking off that series yesterday, another poor starting performance from your starting pitcher, and a cash them or trash them as well. 713-780-ESPN. We're on YouTube at ESPN Houston. We're on Twitter at ESPN at 975. Blankers at Pac-Man Joel. Brian at Sack by BMAC. I'm at Jeremy Brand. I'm at Killer Bees, broadcasting live from Senate Avenue Brewing on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Look, if you're looking to get away for a little bit, I don't blame you. Get out there to Two Creeks Crossing Resort on Lake Livingston, whether it's for the weekend, or maybe you're going to take a few days off in the middle of the week, or maybe the job gives you a few days off in the middle of the week. And right now, you can save 20% on your next two-night stay, Sunday through Thursday, by the way, on rentals for RV sites, yurts, cabins, and tents. Now, minimum of two nights, maximum of five nights. Sunday through Thursday, you can save 20%. Off right now. Two Creeks Crossing Resort is the best place to get away if you're from Houston. Escape the city, enjoy the relaxing great outdoors, get some rest and relaxation, and book your stay right now. TwoCreeksCrossingResort.com. From the open green spaces, wildlife you don't get in the city, to beautiful, majestic trees. And if you like to fish, some of the best fishing in Texas. Can't beat it. It's just 90 minutes away from Houston, so you can escape the city without traveling too far at Two Creeks Crossing Resort on Lake Livingston. Hike on their 92-acre property, kayak the waters, pickleball on their pickleball courts, or just hang out by the pool with a drink. That's cool, too. Two Creeks Crossing Resort loves to take care of their visitors. They'll have a barbecue cook-off one weekend. They'll have a crawfish boil the next. You're always going to have a great time at Two Creeks Crossing. From glamping to cabins, tree houses, pull up the RV. They have the perfect stay for everybody. Book your stay now at TwoCreeksCrossingResort.com. That's TwoCreeksCrossingResort.com.
Do you have the ESPN Houston app? No? Then download it now in your app store. Broadcasting live from the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios, located at Senate Avenue Brewing Company in Jersey Village. Here's the Killer Bees, Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Babe strikes me as a smooth criminal. Like, he seems to me like to be a thief in the night. You know, wouldn't even expect him to, you know, be there or to be a thief. But I could see him doing it.
He's like... Yeah, he's Mr. Incognito, inconspicuous, but yet he's a smart guy. He could pull it off.
And I feel like he would throw some subtle hints to be like, hey, guys, I'm telling you that I'm a thief, but us not pick up on it.
Right.
I think that might have been a clue.
He's like, catch me if you can guy.
Yeah. I think that might have been a clue there.
But I would leave a clue.
I think you just left a clue. Smooth criminal. You're saying you're a smooth criminal. I think you're admitting it out loud without admitting it out loud.
I was saying that that Adam Silver is a smooth criminal, what he's done to my great league. The draft lottery.
My great league. I mean, about as worst case scenario as you can get for the Houston Rockets. The Dallas Mavericks get the number one pick, and whether they draft Cooper Flagg or they use it to trade for Giannis, that'd be a pretty good big three. San Antonio, I like Dylan Harper a lot. I think he's a great fit with San Antonio because now he gets to play with Wimby. If they trade for Giannis, De'Aaron Fox, I mean, I think it's a really good fit there. The West got a lot better, and then the Southwestern Airlines division got a lot better.
Boy, it sure did. And whether you want to, you know, have the questions about could Harper play with Castle, that's the least of your concerns. I mean, you have De'Aaron Fox, and I know he just got there and everything, but even if you wanted to, you could move him because you've got a young backcourt with Wemby being super young if you were trying to bring a Giannis or someone in. Dallas has said that they're going to keep the pick, but if they don't, Milwaukee would absolutely put Dallas front and center for a trade to get, you know, to give up Giannis if they knew that Cooper Flagg, a potential future franchise player for them, was on the table. There's so many different things that could happen, and from a Rockets perspective, they all hurt them greatly because, I mean, I'm sitting there as this draft unfolds, this lottery unfolds, I'm going, oh, my God, they got 10? Like, that sucks. Because now my first thought is, who are you trading it to, and who wants the 10th overall pick? Because to me, looking at it, unless Con Knipple is there and he slides as a potential fit, and even then, I'm thinking about it going, you've already had guys struggling to get playing time. You've had all these young picks over the last several years you're trying to develop. This team looks like it needs to take the next step forward. After you get past Cooper Flagg, the majority of these guys are going to take a year or two to develop. They're going to be in the same boat as the guys you already have. In a lot of cases, they're going to be repetitive to the players in the positions they play already currently on this roster. I'm not excited about it, and I think that their best bet might be to trade that pick.
I think there's a 75% chance they trade it. And I think they trade it for a future first.
That's possible, yeah.
Unless they're combining their youth and picks to trade up, to level up with a Giannis, a Durant, if there's somebody out there that we don't know yet. I believe that unless there's a trade like that, I think they're going to package this pick and trade it for the future. Just like we saw with what they did with the Brooklyn picks. Like, a first-round pick isn't going to get run on this team.
No.
We just saw with Reed Sheppard, who was the number 3 pick last year. He's not getting any run on this team. If they don't make – Cam Whitmore is not playing at all. And I know he fell to 20, but he was a projected lottery pick, projected top 10 pick. Whoever is the number 10 pick in this draft isn't going to see the rotation for the Houston Rockets. I think Rafael Stone has already told us that and has shown us that by trading current picks for future draft capital. I think that's the play again, unless they're combining it for somebody bigger to level up, to combine that collection of youth talent picks. Now, the only benefit of this draft lottery is it does make that Brooklyn pick, or the trade that you made with Brooklyn, Rafael Stone made with Brooklyn, where you swap their picks with Phoenix's picks. That looks a lot better today. It looks a lot better after yesterday's results, because you traded Brooklyn's pick this year, Brooklyn's pick next year, for Phoenix's pick this year, for Phoenix's unprotected first in 2027, and then you get the two of the best unprotected first in 2029 for Phoenix, Dallas, and Houston. So you added a couple of picks there, and all you lost in this year's draft was two slots.
Yeah.
You lost two slots because Brooklyn landed at 8, you landed at 10. Now, where Brooklyn lands next year is going to be, you know, part of the equation as well. But looking at that trade today, with the benefit of hindsight and all of that, Rafael Stone got a great deal with Brooklyn.
Hey, look,
great deal.
I was the one that questioned it at the time. I thought that Brooklyn's pick would be worse. I thought Brooklyn was absolutely in the tank and that pick would be higher. So, as you just clearly stated, I have to give Rafael credit for doing it, because at the time, I didn't see it happening. I also thought Phoenix was going to be a lot better basketball team. But the fact is that it all played out in their favor, and they're sitting in a lot better seat than they would have been had they kept the Brooklyn pick. So credit to him for making the move that he made.
Yeah, and I mean, he had to get a little bit lucky there, but that was what Rafael Stone said whenever he made the trade, was we don't want to be reliant on a team that has 14% chance to win the lottery, or relying on lotto balls. Because the three teams yesterday that had the highest chances of winning the lottery were Charlotte, Utah, and Washington. Not a single one of those teams landed in the top three.
Yeah.
So, like, that was the premise behind Rafael Stone making that trade, was, like, even if Brooklyn's the worst team in the NBA, we only have a 14% chance to win the draft lottery anyways. So he wanted to take more bites of the apple with the surplus of first-round draft picks, as opposed to having Brooklyn's this year and next year. And the other benefit of that, too, is, again, the Rockets don't really have a spot in the rotation for a rookie this year and a rookie next year, so he's kicking the can down the road to where he can get talent in the future.
That's what I was going to say, is the fact that they knew, and their staff is really good at evaluating from draft to draft and knowing well before they got to the point of getting to last night that this draft had that one guy that was at the very top shelf in Cooper Flagg, and everybody else was going to be developmental, and they already had a roster full of those guys. And also from Rafael's perspective, he's trying to fill the cupboard again over and over again because of how blatantly Daryl Morey disrespected draft picks and wanted to clear them all out to try and make this team a win now, get veterans, don't worry about draft picks kind of franchise. He flipped it. He flipped the script quite quickly in terms of making these kind of moves to kind of emulating more of the OKC plan of we've got a bunch of young picks. We're going to continue to build young picks. I need to replenish the young picks that Daryl gave away so that as we go down the road year to year, I have more opportunities to make this team better, even if I get to a situation where I'm more cap-strapped because I've invested heavily in 2 and 3 max-type players and more of a veteran-laden roster at some point when you got to sign these guys as well.
Yeah, he's kicking the can down the road. Yep. He's spreading it out. And twice. Like, if you have 20 assets and you can have, in 10 years, 40 assets, you don't want all the assets in the same period of time. You want to spread it out. So I think Rafael Stone comes out looking good there. Unlucky you didn't get the 10th pick. I mean, we didn't expect this draft pick to move up. Texter says that, you know, the 10th pick is going to be pretty good. This draft is deep. I do think this draft is deep. He says the draft is deep. 10th pick still the lottery, worth more than you think. Look, I don't think it's meaningless. I don't think this pick is meaningless at all. I do think it's a deep draft. The point is, I don't believe that whoever's the 10th pick in this draft will be a rotational piece for the Rockets and trying to kind of get a read on who Rafael Stone is. I think he's going to trade the 10th pick.
I think he is too, because I think the other thing is it depends on who you're dealing with as well and what you're getting in return. Aside from you, the scenario you brought up about trading it for a pick down the road, you need a team that's in rebuild mode, that's trying to unload someone or something that's going to be attractive to you. And aside from getting a pick, you know, down the road, it would be, do they have veteran shooters? Do they have guys that you're looking for? Are you looking for, we've talked about Giannis and KD and guys that might be available. But you have to find the right trade partner with something you want in return, short of just taking a pick, you know, in 29 or down, that can help you, you know, plan for the future. So, yeah, that pick will have value, but from who? Like, if there are teams that are in complete rebuild mode that don't have anybody on your roster that you want, the only thing that you can possibly say that pick has value for is getting a pick that hopefully they'll still suck at that point, that'll be high enough that you could do something with it at a later date.
Also, it's a trade piece. It's a trade chip. Like, you traded this pick for, I mean, I know you can't just pick and choose the picks that you want to trade it for, but you trade this pick for a 2028 first-round pick. Okay, now it's a trade piece. The Rockets don't have a first-rounder next year. Like, could you trade this pick for a future first and all that stuff? Probably. Like, there's going to be teams that are going to want number 10. And I like some players at number 10. I just don't believe that they're going to be a rotational player for this core. So that's my guess, but we'll hurry up and wait when it comes to that. All right, 713-780-ESPN. Killer Bees broadcasting live from Senate Avenue Brewing in Jersey Village. A great spot, good brews, fantastic food. Brian, did you order yet? Did you already make an order?
No, I was actually going to go order it in this break.
Okay, good. Caprese salad. They have it on the menu.
I didn't realize that. I was very disappointed when I saw your wings and you passed on the Caprese salad.
Most places I go to that are like a walk-up bar, I don't ask for I don't even look at the menu. I just ask whoever's working.
Are you afraid of being judged?
No.
Because you order the Caprese salad?
Of course not. I know that people that are working here know what's good. So I always ask, hey, what are a couple things you like here? They're going to give me the top two or three things that are here, and then I'm going to take my selection from the top two or three things that are here. I don't look at the menu most places.
Well, I already let Joel know they have a chicken quesadilla on the menu, so his orders are
done. So you're going to get Blankers.
I didn't say that I'm going to get it, but it's in consideration.
He likes pizza, too.
That's true. He does like pizza as well.
They have pizza. They have tacos here, wings here. I heard Paul got the ribeye street tacos, which sounded very good. This is a great menu. Caprese salad. They have a wedge salad.
I would not be ordering the wedge salad.
The wings are fantastic, and I wouldn't
say
that.
I'm sure it tastes great, but I'm not dealing
with it. They have a multi-grain protein bowl, Blankers, for you.
Nope.
You like protein.
Yeah,
you work out. You could go with the multi-grain protein bowl. So they have they have an option for everybody.
He's going chicken quesadillas.
I think he's either going to go chicken quesadilla or pizza.
Okay.
I think it's 50-50. It's a coin flip.
Oh, really? You think it's that close?
Yeah, I do.
I would put it 70-30 chicken quesadillas. Now
is he going to order out of spite?
Right. See, that's the thing. If I hadn't said anything, I think it was 70-30. It might flip now.
Does Blanker strike you as one who would order out of spite?
Yes.
I don't know. 713-780-ESPN. Would Blankers order out of spite? 713-780-3776. Will Doctor, the best golf handicapper in the business, DR Media 5-9. You can catch him weekends here on ESPN 97.5. He's going to join us next to handicap golf's worst major. It is the Bees, broadcasting live from Cincinnati Brewing on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Guys, before we go to the break, a word for my good friend Doc Linville and the great work that he does right here in the Houston Med Center. He's great at so many things. He does spot treatments, Botox, plastic surgery. But what I have personal experience with is the way that he can get your hair back, both with PRP treatments and with the NeoGraft procedure. And I'm here to tell you, having done it, that it works. It's your own hair. You're going to have it for the rest of your life, and you are going to be so pleased that you went through with it. And right now, they're doing a great deal like they always do for our listeners. Normally, for people off the street to go and talk to Doc and his staff and understand exactly what it entails in the different ways they can get your hair back, it's $150. He says for ESPN 97.5 listeners that are listening to me right now, go to them by going to 975hair.com. Set up that consultation for free. Not $150. It's just free of charge. You go in. They explain everything to you. A question and answer session goes after that. You ask questions. They give you answers. And you contemplate it as if there's something that you might consider doing. Nothing to sign on the dotted line for, put money on, or commit to. Just you getting all the information you can possibly have so you can make an educated decision. I made the decision. It was easy for me, and the results are unbelievable. Right after the actual procedures, you're going to see actual hair and follicles right there. In 6 to 9 months, you're going to see the actual results of true, thick, strong hair that is yours, that's going to be with you for the rest of your life. Simply put in lawn terms, fertilizing your lawn is the PRP treatments. You still have hair on your head. You just like it to be thicker and stronger like it used to be. That's what PRP does. If you want to do the full procedure of the NeoGraft, you're going to find out it's literally like resodding your lawn, taking hair from where you're never going to lose it, the sides and the back of your head, putting it where you need it most. Maybe it's that baboon's butt that's showing up on the top of your dome, or your forehead's become an 8-head and you want to get the numbers more in your favor. That's the way you do business with Doc Linville and his staff. Check it out today. Start the procedure by going to get that free consultation. 975hair.com.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. You're back with the Killer Bees
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios, located at Senate Avenue Brewing Company in Jersey Village.
Great spot out here at Senate Avenue Brewing, kid-friendly, great food, great drink. As we go out to our HR&P guest line, it's Major Week. And whenever it's Major Week, we have on our major guest, Will Doctor, DR Media 5-9, best golf handicapper in the business. Thank you, Will, for taking a few minutes to join the Killer Bees to handicap the PGA Championship. Quail Hollow, where the golfers will be playing this week for golf's second major of 2025. Now, of course, this is a tour stop with the Wells Fargo. Give us the course characteristics and then also how they toughen it up for the major.
Well, I think Quail Hollow is really excited over the last month to host this event, specifically because before this week it had not rained here in Charlotte, North Carolina for over a month. So it was very firm. The fairways are ribbons out here. It's tight doglegs, winding fairways, really not much toughness in the greens, but it is a demanding golf course from the aspect that you need to be able to drive it over 330 yards, and you have to do it with great precision. Now, I bring up, the firmness and the rain and the fact that it hadn't rained here in a month, because it did absolutely pour here on Monday and a little bit here midday. I mean, yesterday was a complete rainout. No one was allowed at the golf course. Today I went out and walked – nine holes. I saw the whole golf course this morning, but I walked nine holes with Johnny Kiefer, who's a 24-year-old out of Baylor, who is making his first start in a major championship this week. And he only got seven holes in, and then it started monsooning again for, 2 hours. I was pleased with how the fairways, dried up this morning after the rain. It still is soft out there. They do have a sub-air system under the greens, so they can keep the greens extremely firm. Justin Thomas won the PGA at Quail Hollow in 2017 with 8 under par. I think with the fairway, with how, you know, soft things are everywhere except the greens, I'm looking at more between 12 and 15 under as the winning score this week.
Will, I'm curious because the obvious choices from week to week, especially with the majors, now that Rory's completed the career Grand Slam, Rory and Scotty are going to be at the top of the list. But who are we missing? Who are some guys that can hit it with the length you're talking about and the accuracy, and maybe some guys that have been hot lately that a lot of people aren't focused as much on?
Yeah, he's not a sleeper this week by any means as far as the odds are concerned. But I would say Bryson DeChambeau is the golfer that does not have a weakness going into his game based off the way he's played as of late. He won his last LIV golf tournament in Korea 2 weeks ago, and he was perfect across every statistical category. You know, these top four names, Scottie Scheffler, Rory McIlroy, Bryson DeChambeau, and Justin Thomas, all playing very well, but I would say Bryson DeChambeau and Justin Thomas, when you look at their last start and when you look at the success they've had over the years at Quail Hollow, they have to be the top two favorite names. And Bryson DeChambeau, you know, won in Korea decisively. It was a two-shot victory there in Korea. You know, from a driving perspective, no one hits it farther than Bryson. That's going to be a huge weapon out here. He's also driving with incredible accuracy. You know, Bryson's not only hitting it, you know, out there 240, 245, but he's not missing fairways doing it. You look at, you know, Rory McIlroy, you know, of course, you know, the not having as much driving accuracy at Augusta is not going to hurt you too bad. But when you look at Rory's driving accuracy, it has not been great this year. And that could cost you at tight tree-line doglegs with winding fairways like Quail Hollow. And Rory and Scotty both, while both on top of their games, and I'm sure we'll talk about Scheffler, you know, he just came off an eight-shot victory at the CJ Cup Byron Nelson. Both Rory and Scotty have struggled a bit with their chipping over the last two events. When you look at the two players who are perfect across the board, driving distance, driving accuracy, approach game, chipping, and putting, Bryson DeChambeau and Justin Thomas are the two favorites in this tournament, in my opinion.
Being joined by Will Doctor on the HR&P guest line, from one golfer to another, did win a long drive contest a few weeks ago. Will, I just thought you should know that as we talk golf, as we talk shop, from one expert to another. What are some of your favorite bets this week as they get set to tee it up for golf's second major in 2025?
Yeah, I would have to say, Bryson DeChambeau to top 10 at plus 110 on DraftKings. You can get it minus 110 on MGM without the dead heat. As we just talked about, that's got to be my favorite just because no one's hitting it farther and straighter than Bryson. I think one of the biggest things from that win in Korea was he was exceptional with his irons for the first time in about three events. I would say what kept Bryson from winning at Augusta, you know, he was right there with Rory. Down the stretch going into the final round, he did not hit his irons that well over the final round. I think that cost him. We've seen it cost him in a few LIV events. When you look at the stats, the strokes gained approach, Bryson DeChambeau was exceptional in his last start at LIV Korea. I think one note on the LIV golf thing going into this week, I had a few of them on my card at the Masters, Charles Schwartzel to make the cut. I thought Doral for LIV the week before the Masters was excellent prep. Their prep for the PGA was Mexico 4 weeks ago and Korea 2 weeks ago. And they haven't played anything else this month except that. I think that is why, besides Bryson DeChambeau, I'm really not looking at many other LIV golfers this week. Rom, there's some questions there with the putting. I do like Tyrrell Hatton, to place this week, but LIV has not had a great run-up from a preparation perspective going into the PGA Championship. That said, the one guy on their roster I do like this week is Bryson DeChambeau to top 10 at plus 110. And I think another one, you know, I alluded to him earlier in the show, a guy that's really being slept on is 24-year-old Johnny Kiefer. I do like him to top 40 at that plus 275 number. For the way he has been playing, you know, he won on the Korn Ferry Tour 2 weeks ago with a total score of 31 under par in Arlington at the Veritex Bank Championship. That win got him into the top 100 on the official world golf rankings, and he got an invite to the PGA Championship 2 weeks before the tournament. And it's just amazing to think this guy, Johnny Kiefer, he was playing in a regional in the NCAAs for Baylor 1 year ago to date. And now, you know, he is on a great path on the Korn Ferry Tour to get his PGA Tour card, and he's playing in his first major this week where I think he makes the cut and is in the conversation going into the weekend.
I'm curious, Will, just throwing a name out there because the odds, if you're looking for a bet where you might be able to cash in big, but Jason Day has been quietly having a good year. Jason Day was in the mix at Quail in 17. He had a bad hole. He's had, you know, three top tens and nine starts. It seems like it's a course that he knows well that you might get some value on whether you pick him to win or not.
Yeah, so has been playing incredibly well. The one thing with Jason Day is I was in Philadelphia last week for the Truist Championship, and I've been watching Day here over these last kind of three events, and he actually withdrew last week from the Truist with a back injury. And that has been a theme over his career since he won his lone major at the 2017 PGA Championship. The back has really cost him, you know, over the years. And while he's been putting sensationally, and you know, he's one of the best putters, you know, to ever do it, it's just the results have been inconsistent this year. Of course, you know, I know tied for eighth at the Masters, but then regressed to 49th at the RBC and then withdrew last week. And I don't have an update as far as his back is concerned. I just know it's been bothering him for more than the past week. I would say another player in that odds range to really look at this week is Hideki Matsuyama at 45-1 on FanDuel. He was in that pairing with Justin Thomas on Sunday at Quail Hollow at the 2017 PGA, and he watched Justin Thomas fire a final round 68 to win, while Matsuyama posted a 73 that Sunday and finished fifth. Matsuyama has played very well at Quail Hollow over the years, and you know, has made the thing to really pay attention to with Matsuyama is he's made major strides with his driving accuracy and putting here over his last four events. We know Matsuyama is one of the best ball strikers of all time, but you know, it's often the driving accuracy and sometimes the putting that can get him in trouble. And those are two statistical categories that he was positive in last week at Philadelphia Cricket Club for the Truist. You know, Hideki was the only player grinding in the rain on Monday. He had the caddy holding his umbrella while, you know, it was just pouring rain. Only guy that practiced on Monday, incredible work ethic. I think Hideki is going to be in the conversation for his second career major championship this week at 45-1.
Will, we appreciate the time. Stay dry out there in North Carolina and enjoy the tournament.
All right, keep winning long drive contests, Jeremy. You all have a good day.
Yeah. It might just be one of the you know, once in a lifetime. I might have retired, actually. Just go out on top. I'm never going to beat that. So, I might be done with the golf game there, Will. I think Will hung up. He didn't care about my response. Thanks, sir. Will Doctor joining us. Follow him on Twitter, DrMedia59, best golf handicapper in the business. And he does a weekly show with Charlie Epps as well on the lineup on Saturdays, I believe it is. All right, 713-780-ESPN, HRNP listener line. Let's get to the Astros from a night ago. Astros dropping game one of the series as they fall to the Royals. Another bad starting performance from a starting pitcher. It is the Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. You know, we're out here at Senadab Brewing Company today, and my drive to Senadab Brewing took me right by HRNP. I didn't realize that at the time. I should have known, and I would have stopped by and saw the guys. Would have saw Chris, an A&M guy, grad, Mike Holly, of course, who runs HRNP, U of H class of 1990, go Cougs. He's been protecting the interests of businesses for nearly 25 years, by the way. HRNP provides comprehensive human capital management services, including HR compliance, benefits administration, and payroll. HRP is going to work with you to customize a plan for whatever you'd need. There's nothing cookie cutter about HRP. You need a little help, a lot of help, or anything in between, HRP is going to create a plan for what you and your business needs. Their customer service, second to none. You'll never talk to a stranger on the other side of the line. You'll be calling someone familiar with you, familiar with your company. I can attest to that customer service anytime I have a question. Quick response, easy to understand. Let HRP take on the demands of human resources and eliminate your HR burdens, so so you can get back to growing your business. Give them a call at 281-880-6525. Let HR&P customize a plan for you, 281-880-6525, or visit them online at hrp.net. That's hrp.net.
ESPN 97.5. You're listening to the Killer Bees
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios, located at Senate Avenue Brewing Company in Jersey Village.
Oh, great spot. Senate Avenue Brewing, Jersey Village. Easy drive, good food, fantastic drinks as well. Brian got he got Glenn's Pretzel.
Yeah, I thought, you know, when in Rome.
Is that named after Glenn Davis?
I assume so.
We don't know. Wondering.
I don't know if there's another Glenn that would be familiar to the owner, Andrew, who just came over and said hello. But Glenn Davis, who's had, I believe this will be his third show out here at Sinan Avenue Brewing. Great pretzel, by the way. It kind of feels like when it's a beer play. Is the pretzel named after Glenn Davis?
No, it's after our GM.
Oh, okay. Oh, well.
Yeah. Far more important.
It sounds better if we go, Glenn's got his own pretzel on the menu. And
but, then
there you go.
Okay,
they're going to make Glenn Davis a beer. There we go.
Beer. All right. So.
Thank you, Andrew.
If you would have known that before ordering the pretzel, would you still have ordered the pretzel?
Yeah, I have. I told you off air, but I have kind of a standing rule that beer places usually can be trusted with pretzels, with the beer cheese, and I was right. The pretzel was great. So was the beer cheese.
Blanker still has not ordered. We're wondering if we're going to get a spy order.
Although there
or not.
There is a bratwurst on there, so that might speak
throw
to
that
his
in the
Wisconsin,
equation.
Yeah, that might speak to his Wisconsin soul.
What are some weird towns in Wisconsin? Piscataway? Is that going to speak to his Piscataway?
Piscataway sounds like
no
it's
idea.
New Jersey.
No, I think it is in New Jersey.
You got
is that where the NBA offices are?
No, I think that. Oh, yeah, maybe. No, you know what?
No,
isn't that where Rutgers is at, Piscataway?
I think maybe. That's right. Okay. I think that's right.
Yeah, I think it's
I
where
know I've
Rutgers
heard that town name
is
before.
Secaucus is where
oh,
the NBA office
okay.
is. You don't want – Craig always jokes, beautiful downtown Secaucus. It's an armpit. The NBA
well,
headquarters –
New Jersey.
I mean, it's New Jersey. Yeah, me too.
The NBA entertainment offices is all that's there that's worth anything.
Sheesh. Yeah, Piscataway is where Rutgers is at. What's a weird town name in
– Oh, there's lots of them. There's Waukesha, which everyone cannot pronounce.
Does it speak to your Waukesha?
They call it Waukesha.
What was the town where the making of murder
I was thinking
thing
the same
happened?
Thing. I don't remember.
That was Wisconsin, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was.
Brendan,
sure it was.
Was it Brendan?
Brendan was the younger
he
kid wanted
to watch
that
WrestleMania.
Wanted to watch WrestleMania. Yeah, exactly.
But Brendan was his name?
Yeah, Brendan.
I wonder whatever happened to those guys. I wonder if they're still in prison.
I thought I heard Brendan got out, but not the
I heard he got
but
out, but
uncle.
Had to go back.
Oh, really?
That's what
okay,
I heard.
Okay, I didn't follow up after that. But
there's that interesting case going on right now with that that woman who
– Oh, Reed?
Alleged,
Karen Reed.
Yeah.
Oh, Karen Reed, yeah.
Yeah, apparently that's a big deal. I'm going to have to get involved in that. Eric the driver says, would Blankers order out of spite? Does the sun rise in the east? Blankers, would you order out of spite?
No, I wouldn't because I wouldn't want to eat something out of spite that I don't really care for just to get at somebody. That's not what I'm doing.
But if there were three options you liked – and one of us said, oh, well, he's going to get this one specifically, like 90%. You might order one of the other two.
There's
no?
a chance.
Okay, see, there we go.
So there's
there
a chance.
Go.
Oh,
there's
really?
There's better than a 1.7 chance, Dallas Mavericks fans. Let's put it that way.
Okay.
I didn't think you were going to say that there was a chance.
So there's a chance he'll spite order.
Yeah. I figured you wouldn't
It depends
care
on who I'm
spiting.
Ooh, who would he most
– Oh, definitely me.
Of the two of us?
Yeah.
Yeah, probably so.
There's
yeah, probably
no – that's
so.
No there's no debate there.
Okay, so there's a decent chance since I was so strong on the chicken quesadilla that
I
he'll still order
it.
The
But, I mean, it's
quesadilla.
A no-brainer. It's like Brandon with wings is me with quesadillas. I mean, that's a pretty safe bet normally.
Spite order.
Spite order.
Yeah. So there goes the pizza. Pizza's out the window.
I gotta coach that. I'm not feeling pizza or bratwurst because that's going to be heavy and that's going to be tough to get over when you're on the fields and you got to make sure the bathrooms are safe and clear and clean.
Oh, that's right. You got to coach after this.
Yeah.
Vermont, is Joe making Glenn talk Texans today? I don't know if he's going to make him talk Texans today, but I bet you he's going to talk football.
Yeah, I bet he will.
He'll talk football.
For
keep
two
him
hours.
Away.
Yeah,
Joe actually
hours.
Had to do some real work today.
Yeah, and he put himself on a video.
I saw that. He hasn't been on air in forever. He was guest producing today.
Yep.
And suddenly I get on the online, and there he is front and center on a video for ESPN.
Not only was he on the video, he led off the video.
Yeah, I saw that. Yep.
He was the focal point. He was the main character of a video. He's been back one day, and he's putting himself on videos.
You think he learned that at the Barrett conference? When in doubt, promote yourself.
Yeah, go in business for yourself, yeah. Said Jason Barrett. Yeah, they're not learning about like great radio technique and device and strategy. He's saying rule number one in radio: when in doubt, worry about yourself. Stab people in the back. What else is he teaching them? Be selfish. Go into business for yourself. Make yourself 1A on the video.
He's got my old buddy Jim Cozumore's favorite line. There's no I in team, but there's an M and an E, and it's right there, baby. And Joe, make sure he's right there.
How are we putting producers who lack talent on the video to lead off a video? We get 5 videos a week, 1 per show, and Joe's leading off Dell's video. If I was Dell, I'd be upset.
No doubt.
I'll be upset.
So the videos are usually 1 minute. I'm sure we didn't time this out, but what would you say the breakdown is?
First
Joe
10
Dell?
Seconds. I didn't watch the whole video.
Only the first 10 seconds,
watch the whole
Joe?
Video.
Okay.
I only watched the first 15 seconds.
Oh, and 10 of those 15 were Joe?
I think so.
Okay.
Right. Yeah.
It was definitely,
that's a high percentage.
It was all him for quite a while.
I was appalled. I was appalled for Dell. I couldn't believe it. We got a fill-in producer that is leading off the video.
Feels like Dell should get an extra video this week.
Yeah.
I think
absolutely.
You're probably right.
Yeah.
Now, if you want to be the one to suggest that, you're never going to be in a video ever.
I'm fine with that.
Dell didn't even get a video this week. It was Joe's video.
Joe Hijack.
On the Dell Olalea show, Joe George on the video.
Joey Hijack.
Manitowoc County.
Oh,
Manitowoc.
Manitowoc.
But you do say the C, Manitowoc?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, that's where he killed people.
Yeah, at his auto salvage yard,
right? Buddy
went
to high school there.
With that guy?
In Manitowoc? I don't know. I can ask.
Did that guy kill more than one person, or was it just one person?
It was just the lady that came out to review the cars that he had or whatever.
When did they make that?
The documentary?
Yeah.
It's about 5 years ago.
It's no longer than that.
Was it?
Had to be.
How old is the guy?
You know what? You're right. It was pre-pandemic, so it's probably like 17 or 18 maybe.
I feel like it was the first like documentary of its kind like that.
It had everybody's attention.
Yeah. The staircase documentary.
The staircase came on after that.
I know, but it was pretty big, I'm just saying.
I want to say that was at least 10 years ago, Making the Murderer. I want to say it was 10 years ago.
It's like, and it also brought light to the fact I think Wisconsin might lead the country in serial killers because they had Dahmer.
Dahmer.
They had Ed Gein back in the day that used to make people into lampshades and things.
Yeah, I didn't realize he was from Wisconsin.
December 18th, 2015.
Damn, okay. So we're coming up on the 10-year.
We're coming up on the 10-year.
Wow.
Yeah.
I know they did a second season. Maybe that's what I'm remembering as far as release date.
They did do a second season. I didn't watch the second season.
Yeah, I watched it. There wasn't really a lot to learn from it. But
I feel like there was no new information.
It really was just the appeals case from his lawyer. But, there wasn't a whole lot to – yeah, we know they found the key on, like, the 10th day. We already knew that.
Key from L.A. says that the golf segment was the most boring segment of all time on the Killer Bees. Next time, pay that guy not to show up. Is Key from L.A. being too harsh with Will Doctor previewing the PGA Championship with us? And betting previews.
Sounds like Key doesn't want to make money.
That's the thing. Will knows his stuff. Yeah. And whether you're a golf fan or not, if you want to make some cash, we're trying to help your ass out, Key.
Yeah,
That's more of a betting segment than it is a golfing segment.
Yeah.
That's why we do it. It's for the betting.
We've had listeners that say they don't give a rat's ass about golf, but they put money down, and they end up winning money, and that's cool.
And we do it 4 times a year, Keith, from L.A. Now, I will admit that the PGA Championship is by far the golf's worst major. Not even close.
Yeah. I mean, to me, sometimes it's almost to the point of putting the Players' Championship in the mix.
I care about the Players' Championship. When I watch golf.
Brian, you don't watch golf.
I just phrased it as when I watch golf.
I know you said when. You don't.
I know, but when I did, past tense, I cared about the Players' Championship, mostly because it was 17,
Island Green.
Yeah, far more than the PGA Championship.
17 at Sawgrass. Yeah, I mean.
When I watch golf. Last time you watched golf was before they made Making a Murderer.
When was the Tiger showdown with that jobber at the U.S. Open, where they had to go to overtime?
You're talking about Rocco Mediate?
He
said overtime.
That was in La Jolla, right?
I don't remember where it was. Was it at Pebble?
It was either at Pebble or it was at La Jolla.
That was towards the end of when
Torrey
I watched
Pines.
Golf a lot. So
it might have been Torrey
was.
Pines,
maybe.
I think,
he made, about 20-footer for birdie on 18 to force
just to push it, yeah.
And that was back in the day whenever they had the 18-hole playoff.
He had the bad leg, and he had to limp through it.
We got a whole new 18 on Monday. It was great.
I don't like that they went away from that. I like the 18-hole playoff.
Oh, it was great because at working the next day, you had something to put. I had the TV on the whole day watching all of it.
I'm a fan of the 18-hole playoff. All right, let's talk Astros Royals. What went wrong with the Astros yesterday? 713-780-3776. Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5, broadcasting live from Senate Avenue Brewing in Jersey Village.
ESPN 97.5.
Hi, I'm Richard Karn. And you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting radio-exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hosts. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethosts.com/terms.
Hi, I'm Richard Karn. And you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting radio-exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hosts. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethosts.com/terms.
Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hosts. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethosts.com/terms.